Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich. And tonight, this is our final chapter, Getting the Love You Really Want with Harville Hendricks and his lovely wife, Helen Hunt. And we have my lovely co-host, Ms. Michelle. How are you tonight?
I'm great. Thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Usually we've got Amy doing some kind of like, I don't know. Whatever she would be saying.
I'm simplifying.
Yes, thank you. But then I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do with that. Okay. But, you know, we were talking last week about, you know, this whole idea of, it actually was a really great, if you go back and check our episodes, it was on rage and anger. And Amy asked me to rename the episode for conscious relationships versus anger dumping. And I was like, oh, okay, anger dumping. Yeah, exactly. And, boy, there was a lot of really, this is just, gosh, such an amazing book and such amazing work that Harville and Helen have done. And I really just want to just lift them and thank them for all the work that they continue to do because, as Amy had shared, they continue to update this book and have it, you know, very poignant to what's going on in the present moment. And we also talked about anger and some of the research and stuff that we found over the years, what's working and not working, things like that, and new exercises and things like that. So I'm really liking the hug. I'm thinking the hug exercise is probably the best thing. We all need to sit and hug one another for a little bit. Sounds like a really good idea.
My mom actually did that with me last week.
Oh, how nice.
I didn't even ask her. She actually did it the day after the show. She gave me a hug exactly like that.
Oh, my gosh. Michelle, that's amazing.
I don't think she's really ever done that.
Wow. What a gift.
Yeah.
What a gift.
Interesting.
You know, my daughters are 27 and 30, and I feel, you know, some people complain like they're still home, but I'm really grateful that they're still home because it's like they're finding a way in the world, and gosh, the world's a lot different than when we were, you know, getting out there and doing stuff. So, you know, periodically, you know, depending what's going on, and, you know, I know if they're having a hard time or I'm having a hard time, I'll go in and I'll just, you know, cuddle with them when I wake up early in the morning and I'll go in and let us kind of hug each other for a little bit. Just lay and rest and hug one another. I just think that's, I don't know, I don't know where I got that from. I think it could have been a movie. Who knows? But I just saw that. I said, what a gift to be able to do that. I think maybe that's something I would have really liked from my mom, would just be, just to be held. Just to be held. So I'm so happy for you. That's such a wonderful gift.
And I'm happy for you that you can go and do that, even though if you didn't get it. We adapt in different ways. Either if we didn't get it, we don't give it. Or if we didn't get it, then we do give it. He was talking a lot about in this chapter how the couples had the same wound and adapted in opposite ways. And so good for you for finding a way to be loving and cuddly and, you know, physically loving in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, you know, and I think that's just something that would be a great takeaway for anybody, just inviting people, you know, because ultimately we're just talking about these childhood wounds that our caregivers couldn't give us and didn't, you know, whether they didn't know how or however, it's, you know, being able to come from a place of loving yourself enough that you can go ahead and, you know, be able to be kind and compassionate with yourself and when those opportunities come up to be able to share that with somebody else.
Yeah,
you know?
To me it feels really threatening to ask for something like that.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say
allow
that. I mean,
in.
Sometimes that could be really challenging yourself, because that could be, you have to be brave.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be emotionally brave to be able to be in a place where you can do that. But I just think it gets easier and easier when you do it. And if you can find people that you really know that you can be safe on whatever level that looks like, and just move into places where you can be more and more safe with one another. I mean, that's one thing that as you go through this chapter 12, you know, it's called it's called Portraits of Two Marriages, and it goes into some really interesting details about a marriage that had only really just started about 4 years ago, and then they were talking about their dynamics of multiple marriages before they got together, things like that. And then an older couple that they had met each other when they were young, and we're talking like a 40-year-old marriage. So it's very interesting to see the dynamics of a couple different styles of marriage and ultimately what brings people together and keeps them together. I think it's just really, really interesting. But as you go into the beginning of the chapter, Harville really takes some time to really talk about just these steps of integration and just all the things. It's really just a real overview of all the different things that this book really kind of talks about. Was there anything in that integration that really stood out for you, or just in the book itself, that you're just like, now that I know that, I've really changed as a person?
The part where you're not looking for the partner to be that parent, and you're actually able to see them as they truly are,
mm-hmm.
And you're not like looking to them to heal everything, but you're acknowledging your own wounds and seeing their wounds too, and just, it's not all about me getting what I need. It's not all
mm-hmm.
about me getting what I need is probably the biggest change.
Mm-hmm. One of the ones I loved was it kind of reminded me of just one of the partners that they were talking about. You know, the reason they picked these two couples was they had gone to one of the workshops that Harville and Helen put together with their conscious loving. And one of the husbands had said that he'd never thought of his wife as this little wounded girl and the things that she needed and that she didn't get, and that she's still that little girl.
Yeah,
and
that helped him to be more emotionally available to her, because he had said,
mm-hmm.
like, don't come to me to be consoled. I don't do that. Go
mm-hmm.
somewhere else. That was how he had been in the marriage. And then when they did an exercise in the workshop, it opened him up to that compassion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you imagine you marry somebody thinking there's this person who can be there for you, and you're just, you know, needing to have some kind of, just to be held or consoled. And they, you know, you find out after you're married, I'm like, oh, I don't do that. What? Oh, my God. I'm like, okay, this is like big breaks going on. Like, wait a minute, that's not what I signed up for. I mean, that's really kind of life. You know, we go through all these different things, and all of a sudden we're putting the brakes on, and we're like, I didn't sign up for life, but yet you did. You know, and I think that's part of this book too, is, you know, it's not going to come to you packaged the way you think it's going to come to you packaged. You know, it's going to come in a way that really can get your attention, or really push a button, or be in this place where you really have to stop yourself. It's one of the other things I really loved was going through that. There's a questioning that you can have for yourself, where Harville really encourages people to, instead of blocking your pain, you know, being able to ask that pain, you know, and trusting, you know, what is emerging from this moment? You know, why did this come up for me? You know, why does it feel so painful? Or, you know, why am I hiding? What's hiding beneath this feeling of sadness or anxiety or frustration that I have right now? What's really underneath all that? You know? And, you know, you might think, well, it's this person driving me crazy and doing this habit that I've heard forever. And it's just like, I'm on my last, you know, I'm on my last nerve about the whole thing. And really say, you know, what is it that's here for me? And you taught me that one. I think, well, what's here for me? You know, we've had conversations before just with the two of us sharing life sometimes. It's like, what's here for me? I think that's such
a
wise thing.
A
and being
lot.
Able to be questioning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to be questioning the situations that come up in life. And I think it really helps you to be that observer. And that's another thing that Harville really encourages people to, you know, be able to kind of step back and look for a bigger picture. and looking at, you know, what is life really trying to be here for me.
Yeah, and not to get in the head about it, to be in the body and to be with the feeling and ask from that vantage point, not from the vantage point of the mind trying to figure it out. It's more of an experiential what's here for me. I don't know if people understand that, what that means, but I do a lot of somatic work, which is to put you in the body and to feel the sensations and to let the sensations inform you what's here.
That's a totally different way of communicating, I'm sure.
But the body knows the score. There's a book written by that title, The Body Knows the Score. It holds all the information that you need, and if you allow it to express itself and listen, and you listen and you just kind of let it do its thing and ask that question, what's here for me, you can usually find a way to get what you need.
Well, I think part of it, too, is just being willing to trust. You know? And I think, you know, it's just like, you know, be still and know that that's here for me. It's like knowing that, you know, be still and know that I am God. It's like being still and trusting in the process, knowing yourself to just allow that to just unfold in front of you. Well, that
so
can take
interesting
a lot of patience.
Yeah, well, it's so interesting that you say that, because my word this week, I asked myself, somebody was doing some kind of a meditation and they said they did like a little like breathing and kind of going into a short meditation, and then to ask like, what's the most important thing for me in my life, like as far as relationships, and the word that came up for me was trust. I find it very challenging to, like, trust someone in a relationship to really express what I need, because most of the time what I need is, like, care, kindness, compassion, nurturing. And I'm a little bit like one of the couples he described in this chapter, that when the wife expressed to the husband, who traveled a lot, that she needed him to call every day to help her feel more secure and to help with her anxiety. And then the husband readily agreed to do it. After a few weeks of him doing that, she found reasons to, like, say, like, not to do it. And I can see myself doing that. Because it became so uncomfortable to receive what she actually asked for. But her husband was like, no, I'm not going to stop doing it. He didn't let her sabotage it. And he was able to continue. And after a while, she was able to relent, like trying to push it away and allow it in. But that's a whole new way, because if you can't trust, you don't want to let it in. Because on a certain level, I know in my life, I've had a lot of letdown. A lot of disappointment and a lot of letdown. And so to, like, actually ask for something and open myself to receive it means that I might be vulnerable to the disappointment and the letdown. So let me just jump in here and tell you not to do it before that happens again.
Right. I don't want to set myself up for failure. I'll set myself up for that disappointment.
Yeah, it's too painful.
Yeah.
That was really interesting.
Very painful. Reminds me too about one of the other guys in these couple stories too. Was, I think it was Greg. He ended up having a friend that was kind of just a guy that he met, and the guy was just relentless about becoming his friend. And he kept saying, "Oh, let's go do things." And he's like, "Eh," kept putting him off, and then he started including the wives, and he kept going, "Eh," and then he finally realized, you know, he says, "I gotta, you know, humor this guy, or he's just never going to leave me alone."
Yeah, that was his first
and then he
intimate
winds up
relationship.
Really intimate friend that he never allowed himself to have.
He was the first intimate relationship. He was married. Greg was married, and he didn't have an intimate relationship. This was the first person that he actually had an intimate relationship with. And because of his wounds and the way he was raised, it took somebody who was kind of powerful and a little bit quote-unquote aggressive, you know, aggressive and assertive, to mm-hmm. break through his barriers of keeping people mm-hmm. at bay. And so he actually was always looking for that in a partner, and he did find somebody who was like that, his third wife, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was it third or fourth? I think it was fourth wife.
Anyway. Okay, maybe.
She was down the
yeah.
line.
I think it was, maybe even his fourth, right?
I think it was the fourth wife. I think it would have been Annie, yeah. Uh-huh.
But he was attracted to that part of her because he needed somebody who would do that. But then mm-hmm. at the same time, that character trait initially led them into a power struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just so interesting that it's like how we get attracted to someone is because they have the traits that wounded us, but the person who has the trait that wounded us is the person who will heal us by changing expression. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
By being a different, mm-hmm. by treating us differently, they will deeply heal us. He's saying in this chapter, like, you can't heal on your own. Like, really
mm-hmm.
true, true, deep healing happens in the presence of another person.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I agree with it. Well, you know, he talks about that, you know, when some of this building, you know, we're talking about, you know, being in a place where you can feel safe, we can have a sense where you could trust, you know, and one of the things he talks about, you know, is really coming from that, we've talked about it before on the show too, about vulnerability. And vulnerability is actually one of the highest emotional, spiritual gifts you can give to yourself or another. People say, I want to be vulnerable? Vulnerable is like it is. Absolutely. You know, can I be in a place where I'll tell you my fears and my weaknesses and my desires? And you're not going to, you know, push me away or laugh at the things that I share with you. I know that I can trust. Mm-hmm. I can trust.
And I'm going to ask you to meet my need and
mm-hmm.
ask you to do it, and then you're going to agree to do it.
mm-hmm.
That's what is the space of healing. But so many other spiritual practices and psychological self-help books and therapy, they all say the healing comes from you, that you heal yourself. The fact that this book says that the deepest healing is in relationship with another person, that actually them giving that to you is more deeply healing, to me, is different from what I've heard from the majority of all the spiritual and psychological teachings I've been exposed to.
Mm-hmm. That's what's really true. Yeah, so they've got two different stories. So they have one with Annie and Greg, and then Kenneth and Grace. And Annie, she was asked by Harville, and he said, you know, if you had any advice for people who would be reading this book and confronting some of the ideas, and she said, my advice would be to focus on yourself. And then I would say, I mean, you need to realize what you are doing for your partner is what you're doing for yourself. It's about your own personal growth. And I finally learned that when I was stretched to meet one of Greg's needs, I was reclaiming a part of myself. So anytime your partner asks you to do something, say to yourself, does this make sense? Does it behoove me as an individual to do this? And if it makes good sense and it behooves you to do it, then do it, regardless of how you feel about it. Because in meeting the needs of your partner, you will ultimately be recapturing a part of yourself. Wow.
Yeah,
wow. That's a wow.
Now, the question is, when you ask yourself, does it behoove me to do this? Sometimes I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the answer to that question.
I think if you don't know, still do it. Because if there's a part of yourself that's like, I'm not too sure. But I mean, I really think that within ourselves, if you have that something like that and you're like, no, you know, as long as it's not the no where you automatically, you know, just feel like it's not your thing and you're just kind of, I don't know, then I think you should do it.
Well, I'm not so much anymore. I usually am not like no, because I'm more in the present moment and considering, you know, like, I'm not sure, let me explore this. Because when you first say no, if you just go no automatically, to me that might be resistance.
That's
for me. For me. So, so let me just check in. I don't know. Let me check in. And then sometimes for the longest time, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, and you know, and who's to say this has to be spontaneous? Like,
yeah.
Well, let me think about it. I'll get back to you.
Well, because I'm in that kind of situation right now. I have a parent who is unconscious and not aware that of how to care for themselves because of their own trauma as a child. And, you know, how far do I go in offering love and caring to take care of that parent? And when do I say no? Do I say no? Do you know what I mean? Is this really helping me to just say yes and yes and yes to somebody who may who is unconscious? Does it is it helpful? I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And I mean, you know, no one really has that answer for you but you.
Yeah, I'm just kind of going
day
by day.
It's like no one can give you that answer. Only you have it within yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
and
well,
because of my, probably because of my own trauma that's unresolved, at times I'm not sure what the truth is.
I like that you're willing to giggle about that.
I don't
know.
I don't.
No clue at all. Okay.
I'm here today, you know?
Yeah, right. And as lovingly and as present as I can be and as compassionate as I can be.
Yeah.
And is gosh, can we ask any more of ourselves? I don't think so. I don't think so.
Just,
the world might think so, but I don't think so.
Yeah,
you know,
just
that
doing
would be
my
somebody
best.
Else judging me for where I am, and they don't know me. They're not in this inside here with me. Thank goodness it'd be pretty crowded, so that's good. You know, be like enough room. Hey, it's all good. Going against it. So.
But you know, our society has been kind of harsh. You know. That person, oh, you should just leave. I mean, you know, those kinds of things about me. Oh, you should go. You should be out of there. Oh, no. Do you know what I mean? So, there's kind of like people are not, the first step is usually not compassion.
Well,
the first
like
step
the
is usually like, what do they call it? Hard love, what do they call it?
Tough love.
Tough love. I've grown up in a family of tough love.
Well, I think most people have.
Yeah. It was tough.
You know?
There wasn't much love.
Well, you know, it was tough. My mom and dad were tough with me, so I'm going to be tough with you. Like, I turned out pretty good. You're like, really? I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's look at that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Like
one of the points with Greg that I thought was real interesting was he was saying that, I can't remember if it was his first or second marriage, but he wound up having an affair because he knew that would get himself out of the marriage.
Right.
And I thought that was so interesting.
I thought it was interesting, too.
That we make up these, we make up these things about, well, if I do this and this happens, and then if I do that, that happens. Well, maybe. You know?
Well, because their belief system said you can't leave the marriage unless it's like something really bad happened. And that was that in his circle, that was a good reason for the marriage to end.
Yeah, it made it acceptable.
Yeah.
So interesting. Yeah.
So interesting.
So much of that we create with life. Yeah. So I ultimately think with this chapter is Harville really goes on to say that marriage can look in a lot of different ways, but ultimately he says marriage is a spiritual path. that's striving for a conscious connection with one another and living in a very soulful way. I thought it was interesting too that Harville started out at the age of 15. He got invited to a youth conference in his church, and they asked him to be give the sermon. And he did a pretty good job, even though he was almost scared. You know, he was petrified to do it, but people really liked what he did. It was within a couple of years, he actually was at a church, and he was basically the pastor. And he did it for 2.5 years, wound up being a pastor. So, you know, and he thought it was one of the most enduring things that he really had in his life, because he was getting things from that relationship that he didn't get from his parents, and being able to be heard and appreciated for who he was. And then he went off to school and he learned philosophy, and that just changed everything. They're like, you're a know-it-all. We don't want you. We don't want you counseling.
Literally, they said that has changed you for the worse.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I think he started leaning a little bit more on what I know instead of who I am, maybe, and how he would put information out in front of himself instead of just sharing from his heart. In a sense of things.
Well, he was asking people a lot of questions, and instead of presenting that he had the answers. And sometimes in religion, people want to be given the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think most times
he was more on a spiritual path, which asks more questions, because the answer is an individual thing, because we're all a unique expression of God. So how could he have the answer for anyone? All he could do was ask a question that would prompt you to look for the answer for yourself.
And here he's been doing that ever since.
Right. Can I talk about one part in here that really touched me?
Absolutely.
This was in Kenneth and Grace's relationship. And I was talking about, like, Grace wanted him to sort out her. She had like kind of a spiritual crisis, and she really wanted him to come in with the answer of like what she was supposed to do. And he says, I was supposed to provide something for her, and I was failing. And he was distressed. He couldn't help Grace, but he was also aware that he was deliberately holding back from her something that she wanted, which is interesting. She wanted me to be strong, to be decisive, and it wasn't just about religion. It was about everything. She wanted to be a little girl and have me be the daddy. But that felt like an unfair position to me. I didn't want to be too strong. Then I would have to give up forever my wish to get what I needed. I wanted to be the child too. And I see that in not only the relationship that I had, but I see that in a lot of the adult relationships I've looked at. That the people withhold from each other something that the other person wants, because that will put them in the position of having to be the giver and not get what they need. And of course, that just leads to so much power struggle, right? Because each person, when they're unconscious, they want to be the child and they want to be cared for by the other parent. And whenever that happens, there's, I think, on a spiritual level, going to be resistance. I think it's on a spiritual level. Because we're all designed to be so powerful and so full of love that if somebody wants the other person to become the provider of that for them, spiritually, our soul will probably resist, because we know that's not the truth.
Yeah, I think that's true.
But I've been in that position, definitely.
Yeah, it's horrible to go. And going against our instincts to focus on our needs, seek to focus on it consciously to the needs of the other person. I mean, it's just like what one of the girls was talking about with her realizations about relationship, about as I gave to that other person, I actually gave to myself. So I just think that, so, and to me that's really wonderful, because it's like in thinking to be generous with another, you're generous with yourself.
Yeah.
And if you can be aware of that,
it seems scary. It seems scary to me, actually.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It actually feels scary because I don't know why it feels so scary, but it's probably the little girl who didn't get what she needed, and I feel afraid to give that much to another person. It feels like I like the word that came into my head was dissolve, like I'll dissolve.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. But I'm willing to try it.
I was going to say, but within that dissolving, what's on the other side?
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably the dissolution.
To me, that's exciting because it's a matter of in being spacious, what else is there? Just more spaciousness. And allowing that to evolve, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I really wanted to end the show by Harville ends the main part of the book with 1 Corinthians 13. And says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It is always, and it always protects. It always trusts, always hopes, always perceives. Love never
perseveres.
Fails. Perseveres. Good, perseveres.
Love never fails.
Oh, love never fails. And love never fails. And just look the other way and giggle and say, love never fails.
Love never fails.
Love never fails. Well, Miss Michelle, I want to thank you for joining us on this wonderful adventure. Next book we're going to be having is on perseverance. And it's called The Resilient Factor. And it's 7 Keys to Finding Your Inner Strength and Overcoming Life's Hurdles. And resilience, I think it's just going to be something that's it's going to be a very interesting book with all the different things we have kind of going on. We're going to have a couple shows when Amy joins us next time with a couple of her friends that she's met at a couple conventions she's been to recently that she just are just really interesting people that I think will really have a great conversation. We'll say that much for now. So thank you, Miss Michelle.
Thank you, Robin. And I'm going to continue on with this and do some of the exercises. I'm really excited to implement all that we've been discussing together and, you know, move it more deeply into my life. And thank you so much for leading us through this book club.
Okay,
I really
appreciate
you.
And I look
you.
Forward to, you know, you and I can do that together. We'll pick a couple exercises and see what comes out of that. That would be a nice thing to do with friends in our relationship.
Beautiful.
Looking for the love we really want. And we want to thank our international audience, as always, for just joining us. Any questions, comments, and any books in the future you'd like us to go ahead and have in the Cafe Book Club, we'd really encourage you to let us know about them, and we'll see if we can make it part of the pod. So we thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time here at the Cafe. Thanks for joining us.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.